With the Memorial Day weekend comes the unofficial change of season, and next week, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra helps usher it in with A Midsummer Night's Dream. In a collaboration with Washington, D.C.'s Folger Theater, the production of Shakespeare's play will include the famous incidental music that was written by Felix Mendelssohn. We're joined now from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore by our friend Maren Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Maestro, thanks very much for being with us again.
Oh, my pleasure to be here, Scott.
A big shoe you have going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so perfect for this time of year, isn't it? I mean, when the seasons change and love is in the air and poetry abounds. But it's going to be an incredible production. It's directed by a wonderful director named Ed Berkeley. And we have 7 actors playing the roles of 21 characters. Actors from John Bolger from Law and Order. I remember him from General Hospital. Linda Powell from Chicago Fire. We have just a great cast.
Well, and I think nothing denotes the arrival of summer more than a casting call for dogs. I wonder if you can tell me about that.
Well, we have an incredible...
They're looking at me in the control room like, I thought that was a pretty smooth transition, don't you?
Yeah, really. Well, there are so many things going on in this play. You can throw a dog in. You could probably even throw an elephant in and nobody would notice.
Well, let's listen to the music, of course, too. We have a recording, I guess, with Sir Neville Mariner conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. This music has such authority, and it's sobering when you come to terms with the fact that Felix Mendelssohn was a teenager when he wrote it.
Mendelssohn was only 17 years old when he wrote this overture. And the thing that we forget is that Mendelssohn was really the next great child prodigy after Mozart. So he had been composing since he was a little tot, and by the time he was a teenager, he'd already written 12 symphonies and 5 operas. So this was not unexpected, but the quality of this overture and the way it captures Shakespeare's drama is truly amazing.
How did it wind up being a part of this play?
He wrote this overture as a standalone piece, but then later, much later, 16 years later, he was asked to write incidental music for the play as a commission from King William IV of Prussia. And so I don't think you say no to those kind of kings. And he did the incidental music for the entire play. But he went back to his overture and he used it as the DNA for all of the incidental music. One of the pieces that is often excerpted from the incidental music is called the Scherzo from Midsummer Night's Dream. And this is the piece that really introduces the forest and the idea of the fairies and all the busyness going on with them. And of course, we're going to be introduced to the wonderful character of Puck, who really is the perpetrator of so much of the mischief on behalf of Oberon. So Puck will get the sleeping potion and puts it on their eyelids so that when they wake up, they fall in love with whomever they see. Of course, Oberon wants to play a trick on Titania, his wife, and so when she wakes up, the first character she sees is Bottom, who's been turned into the ass, so she falls madly in love with him.
It's been known to happen.
It does happen, doesn't it?
It does happen quite a lot.
But these fairies, I think, are they're characters unto themselves, and they have their own little drama going on. And what Mendelssohn does so beautifully in the incidental music is he creates worlds and gives actual voice to the fairies themselves as singers.
Sweet night, 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 swe
in this number, we can hear these two fairies in the voice of the soprano and the mezzo-soprano singing the entire forest to sleep.
And then?
And then, of course, there are many dramas going on at the same time, and they're two young couples. One's in love with the other, and the other's in love. And now, of course, they've all run into the forest, chasing each other and misunderstanding each other. There's this entire drama going on, and what happens in the story is that Puck accidentally, but of course, puts the potion on the wrong person, so, you know, one wakes up and falls in love with the wrong one, and then everybody's hooked up to the wrong people, and Oberon gets very angry with Puck and says, look, you really have to fix this mess you've made. So Puck goes back into the forest and finally gets everyone to sleep. And that's the moment when we hear the Nocturne, which has one of the most beautiful French horn solos in the literature. Scott, I think this is one of the few moments of genuine calm in the entire play and in the entire music. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a little bit of the calm before the storm, but finally things start getting righted and we can get back to the important things like having the royal wedding.
Which introduces, I think, one of the most played pieces of music in the world.
I'm not sure how many people know that Mendelssohn wrote the Wedding March, mm-hmm. but what happened was Princess Victoria used this Wedding March for her wedding. It was, I believe, in 1858, and it just became part of everyone's tradition, thanks to the incidental music from Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream. We have the Wedding March that we use today.
Maren, does a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, such as you're about to undertake, remind us that this is a major work in each and every dimension, not just the music with which a lot of people are anecdotally familiar?
Well, it has such a reach, doesn't it? My son just attended a ballet performance the other day of Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's a play that has inspired so many other ancillary artists from different disciplines, and it's a play whose moral rings as true today as it did in the moment. And for me, it's all about the concept of love and mm-hmm. love in all of its transformations, because love never takes that straight line,
yeah.
but it's always filled with unexpected detours.
But it finds a way.
Always finds a way in the end.
Maren Alsop, who's music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, their production with the Folger Theater of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, with music by Felix Mendelssohn, takes place next weekend. The maestro joined us from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.